Recording now. And now I say welcome to the NJIOA 2025 Winter Retreat. Our presentation today is a two-speaker panel discussion on the topic Prayer Changes Everything. I am delighted to introduce our two wonderful speakers. And the first speaker will be Sherry A, and second, Heidi H. And Sherry, whenever you are ready, you may begin.
Thank you so much, Karen, and thank you everybody for doing service. And thanks for the opportunity to talk about the thing that keeps me sane and sober. I am so grateful to be here. And I chuckled when I saw the tagline, Prayer Changes Everything. And I chuckle because I grew up in a community where people believed that you could like pray to negotiate your way into the best deal out of life. And so the phrase prayer changes everything for me, prayer changes me. And that for me is everything. And so I just want to start real quick qualification. 40 years in food. I found it early. I used it often. And it kept me feeling separate and not good enough and totally obsessed with myself. So that I was separate from you and from everybody else. Real or imagined, that separation and isolation of ego was terrible. And it really kept me from being the woman that I believe my higher power made me to be. And so this disease manifested in me in just compulsive eating. I could not be with discomfort or my feelings. And so starting from about 5 or 6, I ate. And that worked real well for me until it didn't. I'm 5'2". My highest weight was over 300 pounds. And so I literally had to wreck myself before I could really admit that I was powerless over food. And I had no idea when I finally came into the rooms at 40, seriously understanding that I was not going to win. I had that feeling in the pit of my stomach. I'm not winning. There's nothing I can do. This thing has got me. And the first time I sat in a meeting and said with other compulsive overeaters, "I am a compulsive overeater," I cried because I knew finally at least what was my problem. And I, spent some time in these rooms, probably like many of us, and it took me a bit to understand what it meant by this is a spiritual program of action. And so I hung out in the rooms without having an experience with a power greater than me for a while. And at 4 or 5 years of fighting the food, thinking I was gaming my sponsors by somehow trying to follow the rules, but not follow the rules. I finally got desperate enough that I completely surrendered and said, "I am willing to do whatever I need to do, not to die from this disease." And that's when the real thing started for me. Because when I, that first prayer that I remember really meaning, that started to change things for me was God, higher power, whatever you need me to do with my food, whatever you show me to do with my food, I will do it. I don't want to die from this disease. I don't want to be in the bondage of food and in the bondage of the poor health and the pain. I did not want to be in that bondage. And so that first real desperate prayer, "I'm willing that my food would be whatever you would have it be, God. Just show me. Just show me." And from that place of just having my heart be cracked open, and just talking to this power that is greater than me. And for me, that's all prayer is. This program tells me that my conscious contact with a power greater than me is what is necessary on a daily basis to stay in this program, to stay in sobriety, to stay in recovery. And so prayer for me is all of the ways I stay in conscious connection and conscious contact so that I get to grow along spiritual lines. That, like contrary to what I learned about prayer growing up, prayer is not for me to negotiate for the best deal. Prayer is for me to grow along spiritual lines. Prayer is to be in relationship with this power as I understand it. Right? And that's such a beautiful thing about our fellowship and these 12 steps. My prayer is a conscious contact with the power as I understand that power to be that is saving me a day at a time from this disease. And so the big thing that happened for me in prayer as I went through the steps is I began to develop that concept of power that was big enough, loving enough that I was willing to be close to that power through any way I could, to trust that power and hand stuff over to that power in any way I can, so that I could grow along spiritual lines, so that I get a shot of being here and having a life where I get to be of service to God and God's kids. And so I just want to take you through a little bit of what prayer looks like for me on a daily basis, because all we do here is a day at a time anyways. And so I just want to share a little bit about how prayer has changed me and how it's changed how I like start my day. And so I do want to share that, yes, it's those moments in the 12 steps, taking step three, meaning step three, where I'm like, God, you take me and everything I've got and you do with me whatever you will. I meant that prayer in step one about my food. I did not know that I needed to make that same prayer for my whole self, right? And so we have that step three moment of prayer, and then we have that step seven moment of prayer where we say, God, I'm willing that you would remove whatever is in my way, whatever it is. And those are really important. And those moments of those like moments of prayer are critical and they're key. But what really has kept me here a day at a time is the prayer that ongoing prayer. And so for me, that starts with upon awakening. And I came to understand that not only was the food and the unmanageability of my life a problem, my thinking was a problem. And so I love that upon awakening, starts with we consider the 24 hours ahead. And for me, I'm an early riser and I'm an early to bed. So usually I say to God, I'm like, okay, God, I'm awake for the next 17 hours, right? For the next 17 hours, I'm going to need you to direct my thinking because I cannot direct my thinking today. If I direct my thinking today, I'm in trouble. And the promise that it gives me in upon awakening, it says, when I pray to have my self-pity, my dishonest, and my self-seeking motives removed, then for that day, I get to use my mental faculties with assurance. And that's what the prayer says, right? It's like, God, I need you to take away the motives that are not working, take away what's blocking me so that I can be here and be of service. And then the next paragraph says, in thinking about my day, I'm gonna face some stuff. I'm gonna paraphrase. In thinking about my day, there's things ahead of me that I will not know how to handle. There are conversations ahead of me. There are what is expected of me in my home, at my job. There are all kinds of things in front of me that will be too much for me. So I pray, God, please give me an intuitive thought or decision. Please give me an intuitive thought or decision. Please help me to relax and take it easy, right? Please help me to acknowledge that you're going to provide me the right answers as I need them. And then it gives us this promise that this kind of, so starting my day this way reminds me that I can be in conscious contact with my higher power all day long, and that I'm going to need to be in conscious contact with my higher power all day long. And after I have that moment of saying, okay, God, I'm going to need you to take my thinking today. I'm going to need you to give me that intuitive thought or decision. Then it reminds me that as I go throughout my day, there are going to be moments where I have to pause. I'm going to be doubtful. I'm going to be scared. That's going to happen. At least for me, the human I am going to be doubtful and I am going to be scared. And in that moment, I'm going to need to pause. And in that pause, I'm going to breathe and I am going to try and breathe to remember again that I'm not in charge and that yet again, I need to ask for help. So this prayer is for me a lot of times is just asking for help throughout the day, right? And sometimes I just say the serenity prayer. If I am really like muddled and confused by a situation that's come up, then I will just say the serenity prayer so that I can begin to know what my higher power might be instructing me to do. And then I really appreciate, it says, some of us, sorry, I'm skipping around a little bit. Some of us have a few set memorized prayers. And so I'm sure everybody on this call has different prayers. One of the things I've been in recovery, actually recovered for 4 years. And one of the things about prayers that are important to me is when I am in distress. When I am in distress, those prayers, they bring me back to my higher power. And so, having that set of prayers, and I have them written out. I have some of them on an app. And so throughout the day, I love that it acknowledges that all of us might have different prayers that are meaningful to us, and that's great. So whatever prayers are meaningful to me, through whatever literature I find, I keep those prayers close, because again, that's that contact. And that does help me to reconnect. The other part of this that's so important and what happens when I do pray is I forget all day long, that it is not my will that I'm working towards. I am constantly forgetting that it's my higher power's will, not my will. And so anytime I pray, anytime I breathe, anytime I pause, that's the most important thing that happens for me is that I remember that this is my higher power. Who is infinitely loving, infinitely powerful, who knows exactly how my gifts and talents and skills and experiences can be useful to the rest of her kids. She knows. She already knows. So all I am doing by pausing and praying is allowing myself to get quiet for a second, just so I can hear that. And that she will then give me whatever direction it is, remind me this is not my show. There's a much bigger, more beautiful show underway than the Sherry show. Thank God, right? This is not the Sherry show. This is a much bigger, more beautiful show that is my higher powers show. She knows what comes next. She knows all the lines. She already knows them. I just need to like pause and say a prayer that reminds me that reminds me of what comes next is that intuitive thought or decision, and that I get there by praying. And the other part of prayer, and I know this is on prayer and not meditation, but one of the really beautiful things that happens with prayer is over time, not at the beginning, over time, that this truly has become a conversation. And so I do utilize two-way prayer so that I'm writing my prayers and pausing and then asking and listening. And so over time, it has become more of a conversation and less about just me talking, which is great. That's wonderful. That's necessary. I need to have a relationship with power. And I can't have a relationship with power if I'm not praying and speaking with my higher power. But over time, that conversation has gotten deeper and there's more of me listening. And I'm more comfortable sitting and listening because I have 4 years of evidence in my life that show me that when I do this and when I stop and listen for the response, that I am able
Excuse me,
to.
you have 5 minutes left.
Thanks, Roz. When I use this, when I use this conversation with my higher power, that all of what we do in these 12 steps, all of what I do in these 12 steps is powered by this relationship with this loving creator that I call God. And it doesn't matter what step I am in, the power, the battery for it is coming from that relationship. And I do want to just say that prayer in this day, in this month, in this season of my life has not rearranged my external circumstances to my liking. Quite the opposite. I happen to be going through a rocky chapter of life. And our literature says that these 12 steps are designed for living, especially in rough going, especially in rough going. And prayer and connection with my higher power, an hour at a time, a day at a time, means that no matter what is happening around me, I am okay. I am okay because I know who to look to direction for. I am reminded who I am. I am reminded that yes, I am a compulsive overeater. I'm going to be a compulsive overeater a day at a time until I die. Our literature also says, I'll die a compulsive overeater one way or the other. Thankfully, just for today, I don't have to engage in that behavior, and I get to experience life without that behavior. But one day at a time, I can be with my higher power, and when my heart is too broken to pray, sometimes I gotta invite a buddy in. And so I call one of you and I say, "Hey, my heart's breaking. Will you pray with me?" And so prayer does not have to be only a solitary sport. Prayer can be a team sport also. And prayer is not only about, sorry, let me back up a second. My relationship with my higher power has also been enriched by praying and lifting up other humans into her light, right? So early on, I thought it was just about me, right? And one of the things that has changed is what happens when I get to take the turmoil of life in the world, all of the human things that are happening around me, and just like a good friend, I take those things to my higher power in prayer. And I'm like, here is yet another really scary thing I am powerless over. Thank goodness that I am restored to sanity, coming to believe that this power is more than able to do whatever needs done, and that my job is that I just get to surrender to this conscious contact with power, and keep talking. And the more I talk with my higher power, the more I listen, the more I trust her. And the more I'm willing to just turn over anything, my life, my job, my family, my partnership, how I look, what I sound like, what might happen this afternoon, what might happen tomorrow. I trust that it's all in her care, and the best place for it all to be is her care. And that is the best outcome that as a human being I could hope for. And so I'm just really grateful to get to share that with all of you today, and to know that you all too are on your own journeys of being connected to a power greater than you that is restoring you to the people that you were created to be. So with that, I just want to say thank you so much, and I pass.
I'm Heidi H. I am a compulsive overeater, and I am from the Chicagoland area. And thank you to everybody who has done anything to put this together. You have amazing East Coast recovery. Today we've been touched with some West Coast recovery, and Sherry and I will be able to put today we put the heart in the heartland right down the middle in the Midwest. So Sherry, that was beautiful. Your hair, if it's not retro, you played the part. You look like Audrey Hepburn in very cool glasses today. So thank you for doing that. And I'm going to break our anonymity. We called each other and we prayed before we spoke. I don't really know Sherry, but I like to pray on a regular basis. So with that, I'm going to take another moment of silence to make sure that this is a message from God through my heart and not Heidi in her head. And I appreciate that. And you know what? I saw his face, and I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love with my higher power and you people. You promised you're going to love me till I love myself. Don't quite stop. I'm not quite there, but I'm better. And that's a way that prayer has changed things, that I'm further down the road to the woman that he wants me to be. And I love that it's a her, Sherry. I have a lot of friends who believe in goddess. For me, I'm a goddess gal, but it's a white guy in a robe, and I love it. So I appreciate that. And off go the dogs. So whatever. What I'd like to do today is talk about the importance of prayer, but I really want to knock down the door of judgment with prayer. People might be here today because they don't think they're praying right or the right way. And by the time we leave here today, I'm going to lower the bar to show you that maybe we have a 39 prayer warriors and you don't even know it. So with that, it changes everything because I'm here and I haven't obsessively eaten today. I haven't picked up a drink. I didn't get high. And if it was this time in the 70s, maybe my hippy dippy stone self would be Willow. And if I was in the disco era, a little further down in the 70s, I'd be Shazam. But today I get to be me, exactly where I'm supposed to be. And what I'd like to do first is I'm going to start off with prayer to break it down, to invite you to help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery so that I can have an open mind and a new experience with all of these things. Please help me see the truth. Please help me set aside everything that I thought I knew about prayer for just this next 18 minutes, 17 if I'm lucky. What I'd like to do is take you back to the 70s. To what my life was like, just to show you the difference where prayer and recovery is done. So, if you'll join me, it's a crazy day in this neighborhood, a delusional, wacky, insane, I do it my way neighborhood. And it's kooky sometimes. It's so dangerous, don't go there alone. Would
Won't you
you
be
be
mine?
mine? Could you
Won't you
be
be
mine?
mine?
Would you
Won't
be
be
my
mine?
sponsor? Hi, sponsor. No, I have two lovely sponsors and I don't need any more. I get all that I need from them. So let's break it down to the fact that what I thought was prayer. Prayer is important because there are a prayer for every step in the in AA and OA and NA, and it's in the big book. Prayer is important. 11-step prayer and meditation are a principal means of conscious contact with God. This is how I communicate with God. For me, it doesn't have to be specific. It has to be just an attunement, a God thought, an action. So what I have here is the fact that I'll just take you in to qualify a little bit. Back when all these songs were important and Fred Rogers was doing his thing, my life wasn't all that great. I did not fly here on the wings of victory as a kid. I come from a history of male food disorders, which is kind of strange, but really big right now. I mean, people are able to talk about it. My father was an anorexic, a bulimic. My brother's a bulimic, and I have a brother who's on Ozempic. He's 400 pounds, and he gets stoned. So I come from that, and my mom died in 1971. And so these songs in this era really trigger in me a time of healing, but it takes me to back to a place where right now, when you ask me, "Hey, Heidi, how are things going?" I never think of the first 12 years of my life. So my mom dies, leaves this, my dad, who is a sick man. And I'm working honestly on that resentment, which involves prayer for sick people. And my father didn't know what to do with three kids, so he married the crazy lady down the street. Great, she was abusive. Finally, in 1980, he got rid of her, and God took over from there. All I wanted growing up was comfort. Today, it's peace. I've just got done with a month of praying for peace, and I have it today. The best part, not that the food is down, but that the obsession and compulsion has been removed. I did not do this on my own. I did not come here to this program on my own. And I heard it earlier today, but it's true. Me living a life in OA under the 12 steps with a sponsor and a God of my understanding in you people and being of service, RUS, recovery, unity, and service, I get a chance to live. And that is my daily prayer. Just living and working a program, if we bring that bar down. We have the third step prayer, which Sherry talked about. Basically, it says, align me with your will, take away the bondage of self, and then I get the added bonus of what the power, the help to love to carry that out. And my life today is to live intuitively. And a sponsor of mine did an exercise with me a few years back. Don't move today until you feel intuitively led. So I had to pray and ask, what am I to do next? And I sat there. I sat there until I was inspired. And that was good practice. And I try and do that today in all my areas of all my life. So I am a three decade in the drink program, and then somewhere about 20 years, I got drug into the relationship codependency program through my higher power. God, where do you want me and who do you want me with? For the last 6 months, that's been an important prayer for me. Very simple. It's everything that is on awakening, but where do you want me and who do you want me with? And that's been extremely important. And he introduced me some relationships that was more painful than putting down the drugs and the food. And on a daily basis, I have the knowledge, the ability, and the relationship with my higher power to communicate, to ask for help in all my affairs. And to work the steps. So, and that was I crawled into Al-Anon. I'm not going to lie. I crawled into Al-Anon, and the truth is today here I've heard about six 6 hours of great and healthy, clean codependency as well. Then the food was always there because my dad didn't feed us a lot because as long as he had what he needed, everything was okay. He would throw us bagels on the weekend and we were supposed to survive. And I will survive. First, I was afraid and I was petrified. And that's how I lived a lot of my life. Where do you want me? How do you want me to heal? What can I do next? Help me is a prayer. Thank you is a prayer. So I am just blessed to be here, which means that I believe in a changes things. And the first story I'll tell you is I had a sponsor, my first sponsor, and I came to her and I had a cold. And she said to me, "Why don't you pray about it? Pray that the cold gets removed." Well, guess what? In a day or two, the cold was removed, but I was in. I was in. I don't pick up that first bite. It ruins me spiritually. I'm able to chat with my higher power through the day. So when you think about God, I have a God thought. In airplanes, I travel. Anytime I'm hit a bathroom, I'm on my knees. I ask God for help. I go to three meetings in the morning. It's 6:15. It's an Episcopal church. I do love the Episcopals. And there's a I'm okay on my knees. I love to know that my higher power is there and we're friends. I've seen this work in other people when I didn't believe that asking God for help would help me. So most of my prayers, I told you, are for peace. And with no judgment, God is more peaceful space for me. And on what I get from prayer for peace is an oasis of possibility and wonder that I never had before, an assurance that things would work out and be okay. And when I pray, really what I want to know is it's going to be okay today. So I'm going to be okay today. And I try to avoid judging other people's prayer life as well. So it brings me to resentment, which we have the sick man's prayer. And step 10, after I say it, it asks me with the step 10 process. And that's something I'm working on the last few weeks is more step 10, a little less of the 11, a little less of 12, but I can tell in my life I need 10. God, remove the selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment and fear. When I pray and ask God for help, it reduces my fear. Help me cease fighting anything and anyone. Show me where I can be helpful to someone else. Your will, not mine, be done, and I have to let it go. Worship is a prayer for me. Singing is a prayer for me. Doing this, letting go. Here it is. Letting go. When I let go, it's a prayer for me. When I detach and detach with love, it's a prayer for me to my God who knows my heart. Self-care, the ultimate prayer because I'm a child of God and I deserve to be here. And it's the first time in my life that I do feel that I deserve to be here and have a voice. I have the disease of I'm not enough and I don't belong. And OA in the 12 steps has showed me that I do. And I can connect with my higher power at any time. I intuitively know that I'm okay and where I am is okay. And it goes back to the prayer of the last month or so. Where do you want me? That's courageous. And who do you want me with? And when I said that, a week later, I was sitting with my boss and he told me about my new role. And I did not expect that to happen. God answers me in meditation-ish, but in ways that I am surprised and I am loved. When I have my little hands in there trying to control things, I don't give God the space. And I will kind of tone down with making space. And a prayer that I've been turned on to recently, which is a game changer, which makes space for me, is this: God, heal my fear-based thoughts. What? Nothing specific. I mean, they say if you pray for people directly or to win the lotto or that you need a new car or for healthy people or whatever you need. That doesn't count. It does count because you're trying to make a connection. God'll handle with the reality of it, but you're trying to make a connection, and that counts for something. Okay? And God, heal my fear-based thoughts. Don't help me heal my fear-based thoughts. I can't heal anything. Can't heal my eating disorder. I can't heal what's going on in the world, whether I like it or not. He can't help me. He created this to help me grow. Help me with my fear-based thoughts. If I feel that I've had moments where I think I'm never going to meet anybody to spend the rest of my life with, and I'll be alone, God, heal my fear-based thoughts about not being loved, or by not being enough, or by not getting in another relationship. God, heal my fear-based thoughts about unbalance in my work. God, help me. God, heal, please heal my fear-based thoughts. All my thoughts are about fear. He helps me, and I'm incredibly grateful for that.
Excuse me, you have 5 minutes left.
Well, lucky for you, and I am grateful for me that you helped me heal in front of you. I am humbled that you let me relive this. Step seven says, God, remove from me the things that keep me of being service from you, that keep me from being the woman that you want me to be. And that has helped on a daily basis. And then we go back to 10. And then when I talk, bounce back to resentment, we get to pray for others, for their health, their happiness. And also in this program, I'm reminded that when I have an action plan and I have a resentment, I pray for this person every day for 2 weeks. Yeah, it really says that. And I do it. Not that I believe it, but when I do it, I feel better. I'm connected with my higher power. He shows me the next thing to do. And I'm able to remove the blocks that keep me and keep me from being the woman he wants me to be. And the resentment goes away. And I'll just Then I get to pray for the tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. And when I'm offended, I try and let things go to the best of my ability. And when I talk about resentment, when I'm resentful, I don't exactly want to turn to God first, but I notice that when in the big book things are repeated, that it's important. And this is how I communicate with my higher power. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commend this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When they crop up, we ask God in prayer to remove them. And that is how I move forward with a little more communication that keeps my head out of my behind a little bit more. So with that, I'm sure that there's a lot more that I can say, but whether it's a bathroom, a moment, or just saying, God, He knows for me that I'm looking to attune with something loving and higher and outside of myself when I may be in a mood. I'm absolutely blessed and grateful to be here, that I didn't have to pick up today, that I did get over my cold and all the other, as compulsive overeaters, we do great pain really well. We don't do hassle real well. Discomfort, that's the killer. Discomfort and letting go of emotions, that is how we're going to pick up again. And I can't afford that today. So, the little broken shoelaces of life, I need to do more tens. I need to give them to God. I come from a religious, no one's talked about religion yet because it's spiritual. A spiritual life is not a theory. I couldn't stop doing something compulsively. That's why we're here. We have a common solution, which is only spiritual, which brings in my God, and that's how we communicate, and that's changed my life. I'm not the same person that I was. He healed my past that was, not of my making, and he's done this without my permission. He loved me back to the woman he wants me to be, and that's how we communicate. Now, also, it says that we ask God in meditation. And that's a little confusing for me, especially with two-way prayer. Even meditation and sitting still is a communication with my higher power. So anytime, again, an attunement, a thought, a prayer that's higher and loving than yourself is going to get you into the prayer game where you may not think you're there or not. So with that being said, I am abstinent today for since October of 2022, but I've been here since 2020. I'm not alone. I'm okay. I have all that I need, and it's going to be okay. I'm super thrilled to be here. Best to New Jersey, Northern New Jersey OA. It's been amazing. Thanks to all the speakers. I've learned something with my open mind. Sherry, it's great to get to know you. I love what you had to say. Thank you for everybody who's participated humbly in this particular meeting, and I'll keep coming back.
Thank you so much.